Welcome to Highly Questionable. We got Katie Nolan on one side. On the other side, we got Mike. They're going to lose that bowl game, Golic. He wears a Notre Dame shirt. We got to identify when it happens.
Hit him with the okie doke today. It's Notre Dame hockey. We might win that one.
Got it. What do you make of Simone Biles' decision to withdraw from the individual all-around?
All right, I feel like the question just told you what the meat of this is. Simone Biles has a case of what they call in gymnastics the twisties, which appears to be some analog to the yips. And this is one of those where there's not much new to say than what we had to say yesterday about what happened with Simone Biles. If this is a thing that right now she can't handle, she makes that call that she can't handle it, there's not really that much for us to discuss on the back end of it. If you watched, you saw she didn't look like she was at her best. She wasn't sticking very many landings. And this goes back to the Olympic trials that she was in this position. So if this is how she feels, then this is how she feels. What I worry about with this, and I get it because she is the biggest star of the Olympics. She is the biggest news. The more and more we talk about this, all we're doing is inviting somebody to say something stupid. And then when somebody says something stupid, those of us who are not stupid then dedicate all our energy to talking about how these other people are stupid, as opposed to simply ignoring them, which is ultimately what we're going to have to do. Like, this is a deviation from a lot of the paradigm from what we think of in sports, which is you push through no matter what. If you can do it, if you can walk, whatever it is, you go ahead and you keep going. What makes this interesting is gymnastics is a sport that as a nation we really pay attention to every 4 years, and the people who primarily pay attention to it are not sports fans. They're not the same brand of idiots that we are. They hear somebody say, hey, my mental health isn't with it, and they say they're not going to do it, and they fully understand this is a time for us to be a little bit more like them. The greatest competitor at this is not doing it. That means she can't. We got enough evidence to indicate that if she could, she damn sure would be out there. She can't, and I wish her the best.
Yeah, and take her word for it. I mean, we've gotten better as a society about talking about mental health issues, kind of. But like you said, Bo, when it comes to sports, it's a specific kind of fan. It's a specific kind of discourse. It's about pushing through an injury, and we praise people who are able to go out there and play on a broken ankle and maybe make it worse. But in this situation, what it sounds like the twisties are for a gymnast, if I can give you an analogy to help you understand it better, it's like a file in her head is corrupt. It has been corrupted. And normally what you would do is then uninstall and reinstall, but that's a time-staking process. And being at the Olympics, you don't have time to unlearn how to do a backflip so that you can relearn how to do a backflip. So much of what you do in gymnastics is mental muscle memory. And when that's missing, when that's gone, and your body is telling you to twist when there's no twist that you need to be doing, and you get literally, as Simone said, lost in the air, you are risking your health, the future of your career, your body, and also your team's chance at winning. The United States won in the team competition silver. Had Simone Biles gone out knowing that she wasn't able to compete at the level that she was, she could have dragged her team down. So while I see people saying that it's very selfish of her to quit, that's ignorant on a number of levels, but just on the basic level of competition, where had she competed, she could have made things worse for her teammates. So I will say to Simone Biles, we see you, we hear you. People think that when somebody says that their mental health isn't with it, so they have to back out, that they're just sitting at home with their feet up, chilling, loving that they have the day off. You know that this hurts nobody more than the person who wanted to come out and show everybody that she was who they thought she was, that she was great. But Simone Biles doesn't have to show us that. We already know it. I hope she's taking care of herself. And I respect that she made this decision on the world stage so that we can start to move this conversation forward.
Yeah, I think that's sort of the backbone of a lot of the criticism that's always tough for me to stomach, is this idea that seems to lay under the surface there, that some of the people levying that criticism somehow care more about this than the woman who has dedicated her life not only to this as her craft to the level that makes her one of the best, if not the best to ever do it, but also to represent a lot of her teammates, a lot of the members of USA Gymnastics that are not with her here right now. And a lot of it goes back to what Bomani pointed out, which is this is one of those spots where people are showing they're very bad at taking someone else's word when they know more and not wanting to admit that you don't know the specific differences about this sport in a way that allows you to borrow from Katie, just copy and paste your takes from all the sports that we usually watch over here and try and overlap it on this thing. Now, where there is some similarity is that paradigm shift. We've seen it happen in a lot of sports where a lot of athletes in this day and age are starting to look at that old idea of sacrifice. which is inherently a good thing. Like sacrificing for others, sacrificing for the better of a team is a value that is always going to be important in sports. They're just trying to tell us that there might be limits to that that we need to talk about a little bit more. And for Simone Biles in gymnastics, a sport who, my God, had a loss of control with their bodies that was catastrophic and evil and awful and craven in ways that most other sports, God willing, will never have to deal with here. This one especially has some things to overcome in the way of athletes being able to take back control of their body in this spot. So we all kind of need to push back and recognize, hey, maybe this isn't a field that we know overly well, so a good person whose word to take on this might be the best to ever do it.
Should other conferences get back at the SEC by stopping expansion of the college football playoff?
All right, so the Athletic had this story because I imagine that the conferences, they got their fears. It's understandable. The top two teams in the Big 12, not necessarily in football because Texas, but the top two names in the Big 12 are going to join what is already the top conference in the country. And so everybody else gets a little bit shook and they're like, well, if you're going to do that, how about we don't expand the college football playoff, which seems to be the ultimate example of cutting your nose to spite your face. This four-team playoff has basically been two SEC teams and then a couple other teams from the other conferences. I don't know why you think that's going to change just because they added Texas and Oklahoma, right? Because Texas is going to come in and just be another mid-tier SEC school. And Oklahoma, well, honestly, now it might be three SEC teams because they had been one of those schools from the other conferences that had managed to get themselves into the playoff. Somebody help me if there's something that I simply don't understand about this story, because I just can't see how stopping the expansion would do any good for those other conferences, because we're not actually going to talk about the biggest reason not to expand the college football playoff. It's more games that you're asking the unpaid labor to participate in while not being paid. And those dudes are getting the hell beat out of them in these playoff games. You will talk to people who say high school playoff games, by the end of the high school playoffs, they didn't want to do it anymore because their bodies were so beaten. Now we're ratcheting up the stakes, ratcheting up the athleticism, ratcheting up the size, and you're still asking these dudes to play more games.
Yeah, that's the only reason that I would hear to try and halt this if you are anyone involved. But we know no one involved with that decision-making power is going to bring up that reason. And so what we're left with is what exactly Bomani described. Like, I get the notion for Bob Bowlsby and some of these people that were on the working committee talking about playoff expansion with Greg Sankey feel like they got Last Supper a little bit right now, where everyone wasn't dealing with the cards up at the table, and that feels kind of weird. But it's still the best thing for all of you that are outside of the SEC to have exactly what they proposed in there. The thing I am most shocked with is if you believe the SEC was dealing in bad faith in this, they would have pushed to get away with that from that top six conference champions earn the top six seeds. Like, that does not benefit this new world of expanded SEC. They would have just said, hey, let's do 12 teams and keep it the old way, because then we can put five, six, put them in the top six seeds, make sure they got that nice, healthy first round bye if this does come to fruition. So this is one of those like examples of that internet meme. What if the worst person you know just made a great point? Like, unfortunately, what they've proposed is still best for every non-SEC conference. And so as mad as you might be, I'd say hug it tight, because this is about creating relevance. This isn't about 11 other teams that can actually compete for a national title. This is about recreating the old BCS with different wrapping paper, so we talk about more teams on the national level than we have been.
Trying to figure out what's happening behind the scenes in college football in terms of decision-making and future planning it feels like a fool's errand to me, because I don't know, maybe I watch too much reality TV, but it just feels like there's too many meetings after the meetings. Like you were saying, Golic, you were talking about Sankey and Bowlsby being on this committee, this four-person committee who came up with the proposal for the 12-team playoff. But then there is an 11-person college football playoff management committee, 11 people on that. But then there was this separate committee of four people. And then we find out that two of those people, one of them was hiding a big secret from the other person. So they really weren't, like you said, operating with everyone's cards on the table. And then the people who are on the 11, and then they're all going to meet later and discuss what's going to happen in the, how many groups and committees and subdivisions. It's like every time there's a list of the people that are going to consider all the things that they need to take into consideration before making a decision, the last person on that list is student athletes. And we're going to take into consideration this, 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 and those of our student athletes. And it just feels like, how does anybody keep track of where this is going and how it's going to get there if it kind of feels like all of the people involved aren't ever open and transparent about their motives or where they intend to go with things? I'm exhausted.
Up next on HQ.
As a person who used to do that a lot when I was a pitcher, I would always overthrow. I mean, it was first base, but maybe you just saw a kid in the stands who really deserved the ball.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Disney's Jungle Cruise. Experience the movie event this Friday in theaters or order it on Disney Plus with Premier Access.
Time to play the game that doesn't sweat Imani's Notre Dame jokes because they're still better than Texas. Do you question?
Lost to Texas last time you played them. You give us topics and events and we question them.
Charlie, how did you set me up for that? It was right there.
Do you question whether Amir Garrett made up for the night before?
All right, so we got a lot going on with Amir Garrett versus the Chicago Cubs. We're going to take you now to 2 months ago. This is the genesis of the beef. He's got ERA of 6 this year, by the way. There he is. Keep in mind, that's the dude that tried to fight a whole team that one time. And a whole team right there just tried to fight him. Yep. Ain't that something? That's how Javi Baez is right there. Oh, oh, gave him the HQ. So this is 2 nights ago. This isn't a home run, just so you know. Just so you see. Not a home run. He wants to fight Garrett so bad, but nobody else on his team wants to fight. They're like, hurry up and go. Come on, man. We just want to go take showers. We funky as hell. He threw the bat at Garrett, which, honestly, not what you do to somebody that you want to fight. Anyway, here is Amir Garrett from last night. Last out of the game. Baez is in the on-deck circle. Third out. Reds win. Oh, Javi Baez wanted to get out there so bad. Now, here's Garrett after the game talking about all of this.
When you're on the mound and the crowd's booing you and Baez is in the on-deck circle, you're trying to get the last out. What's going through your mind right there?
I freaking love it. I love it. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, you have this ERA, blah, blah, blah. Don't matter. Guess what? You don't boo nobodies. You don't. If you're not that, if you're not, you know, whatever, if you're not that guy, you're not going to get booed ever. I promise you. You will not. Jim Day, I love you. But when you come into the game, you're not going to get booed. You know what I mean? So they're complimenting me. They are. You know, they're intimidated by me. And I'm very flattered by that.
I mean, I don't necessarily know if they're intimidated by him, but they were giving him one hell of a booing. And he's right. People they don't care about don't typically get booed. But the reason they care about him is not because he's been good at baseball. He's just somebody they don't like right now, which I think is also something that he kind of enjoys.
Yeah, that's the thing you have to remember is that, like, if the numbers don't back up that you're good, then the boos don't necessarily mean that they're afraid of you. But I don't think you got to call somebody else out by name. Like, hey, by the way, you, I don't think they care enough about you. No offense. Yeah, offense taken, I think.
I just like this guy in a sport that's got all of these numbers and deep metrics, forsaked all of it and said, no, we're going to go by the applause-o-meter here. That is how we're grading my Hall of Fame case here. Make some noise, Chicago. Let's see what it sounds like.
I mean, that's not the worst thing, though. Like once you get to the point where he's at and where that beef is, you've got to revel in it, right? Like, you've got to at least enjoy it because your other option is to get swallowed by it.
Which is, like, awesome for baseball. What do we ask of modern athletes but to actually hate each other every once in a while? This is fun. Baseball's doing fun stuff. Good for them.
Do you question if this Cody Bellinger throw was Max Muncy's fault?
All right, 1-1 game in the 8th, Dodgers-Giants. Cody Bellinger's got a tight hamstring, so he's playing first base instead of playing in the outfield. What we got here? Oh, no.
Oh, he's in the way. He ran into his path completely. What was he going in? How many outs were there? Oh, no.
Damn. Like, I don't really know what else to say at that point. That looked more like Little League than anything I've ever seen.
Oh, as a person who used to do that a lot when I was a pitcher, I would always overthrow. I mean, it was first base, but maybe he just saw a kid in the stands who really deserved the ball.
That's a wow, incredible glass half full move you just made right there.
That's galaxy brain. I speak for all former fat kids that got stuck at first base when I say I appreciate you.
Yes. Hey, little kid, how'd you like this heater coming right your way? Right? Like, I have to say this. If that kid would have caught that under this scenario, he should be playing first base.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, you said that you used to overthrow things.
Oh, no.
Really?
No, no, don't show my first pitch.
Really?
All right, it's different. It's different. I meant when I was playing, when I was a fielding pitcher, when the ball would come back at me. Don't show this. I was on the mound. I was wearing Keds. What do you want me to do?
I had no idea this existed, which means you guys should have been running this a lot more on this show. Y'all got Foxworth trying to chase Michael Turner all the damn time.
Can we see it again?
No! Look at the kick, though. What if you just stopped up there?
Yo, honestly, Katie, I give you a lot of credit for throwing from the mound.
From the mound. Thank you very much, Golic Jr. That is exactly what I was hoping to receive. But what makes me cringe every time is watching my hand throw the way that girls on my softball team growing up didn't know how to. I just reverted to that. It makes me hurt. So thanks for hurting me. Time to play the game that actually, when you think about it, has thrown the best first pitch of anyone on this show. See or no? Oh.
Got a point. Tell us it's on TV tonight. We tell you if we're intrigued, and she just keeps shaking her head because she just got us.
Tonight at 7.05 p.m. Eastern, Nats and Phillies.
All right, so the Phillies are looking to be buyers here at the deadline. And the Nats, well, I think they are looking like sellers. I'll tell you one guy they're not trying to sell, Juan Soto. Look here. This is unreal. When's the last time you saw an opposite field home run where the outfielder didn't move?
Man.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Dang. He smoked it.
Yo. Guys, Katie, you intrigued?
Yeah, I'll say I'm intrigued. Juan Soto changed his stance famously. That's why he's got such a powerful swing now. And I can relate to that because I've started during HQ sitting on a pillow. And it really is, it's making me feel a lot more comfortable, and it's made me feel like I'm, you know, I can do more. So I appreciate that from Juan Soto. So yes, I would say I'm intrigued. Yes.
I wish I could think of who on this show is short so I could pick on them and say they should try that, because you are not short. Mike, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued by this. Juan Soto, the rare player that goes through with the home run derby and actually comes out on the other side hitting better. I feel like we usually always talk about that, messing up guys' swings. Katie, I have to flip the couch cushion below me on here because I put such a divot in it over the course of the last 18 months that it's the only way I can sit up properly during the show. So proper balance, proper posture, all important here on HQ.
Dropping at midnight on HBO Max, F-Boy Island.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, you said what?
Women have been forced to tolerate the manipulative of F-Boys for far too long. And that's why we're here. Welcome to F-Boy Island. Ladies, the three of you are hoping to find love in this tropical paradise.
I'm over the players. I'm at a point in my life where I'm ready for love.
What you should know, there are 24 men. 12 of them are nice guys. The other 12, self-proclaimed F-boys.
Bro, bruh,
bro,
bro, bruh.
He's really cute, but he looks like he's gonna ruin my life.
It's up to these three ladies and you at home to figure out who the F is who. But the twist, there's money on the line.
Oh my God, why?
Everyone has a chance to win $100,000.
Hmm? How?
It's time to turn it up a notch.
Hell yeah.
How do you decide to sign up? I'm going to be an F-boy on... Then that happens.
Bless you. Bless you.
Oh, who wants to say how intrigued they are by this? Golic, you like that. You're intrigued by this, aren't you?
I'm very intrigued. I also want to know why we're calling it F-Boy Island. It's HBO. Just say it. That's what you're here for in all of this. The thing that you brought up, though, Bo, is why you would sign up to be an F-Boy, because we just saw there you've been being an F-Boy for free for about what looks like for most of them 25 to 30 years now. You got a chance to be an F-Boy for $100,000 here. That seems like a pretty good bit of math for those guys, and those guys, I'd have to imagine, aren't used to doing math much harder than that. So huge win all around.
And women will still date them. Katie, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I watched Sexy Beasts on Netflix where people dressed up, wear elaborate makeup and go on blind. I'll watch anything if it's garbage reality TV.
Bomani, you know what we have to play right now.
Hmm?
And here's what's happening here that I find most interesting.
Here it comes. Oh, yep, man. You can see it coming.
Right, I like nobody ever sneezed before.
Treat stealers, there. Everyone saw it.
This is an admission of guilt.
Hey, unfortunate timing from my father that makes everything better.
It's a dog three.
You know, you got something going on, but that's not right.
Oh!
You see how I try to be polite with my nose?
It's going to be hard for them to turn him down, but it's also going to be hard for them to come to an agreement.
I haven't that in for so long.
No, please air his face.
Izzy on TV dressed like Pablo and sneeze.
No, I'm not ready to call it on the Miami Heat yet.
Excuse me. That was so disturbing that I had to sneeze.
How do you decide to sign up? I'm going to be an F-boy on... Then that happened.
Bless you.
All right, that is our show. Check out Katie Nolan on Sports. It's a podcast with a question mark. Mike Golic Jr., 4 to 7 Eastern ESPN Radio, Chanae and Golic.
Listen at the right time of Bomani Jones.
There we go.
I Golic, got you.
You slipping.